This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
What kind of worship do you think our Father God loves from us? What kind of worship do you think makes his heart sing? And is there a time when our worship might actually grieve his heart, or he may even reject our worship? What did I say? That there might be a time when God might not like our worship and reject it? Wow, sounds really harsh, doesn't it? Let me explain. When I read the Bible, I cannot escape the fact that in God's view, part of my worship is not just spending time in his beautiful presence, singing or praying, but part of my worship is in loving others and caring about justice. These two things cannot be separated. And I would go even as far as to say that God doesn't accept my worship when I don't care about justice and when I don't love the others around me. It's quite an uncomfortable thought, isn't it? The God who sent his son to die for us, who extends his mercy and grace to us so that we may know him and follow him, may not like our worship. It's so uncomfortable. But maybe worship is far more than our narrow understanding of it. Maybe it's more than just a time of singing or personal devotion. Over the last year in Leeds Vineyard, we've been wrestling with all that the Bible has to say about justice. So today I'd love to look at how the Bible puts worship and justice hand in hand, asking the question, what is the worship that our God requires from us? We'll be looking at Isaiah 58 and then spending a little bit of time in prayer responding. Did you know that from March 2020, during that lockdown, the Institute for Fiscal Studies surveyed a nationally representative sample of over 2,000 fathers of under 12 children. They found that a substantial majority of fathers in Britain reported spending far more time with their children than before. The majority said that they emerged from this experience with more confidence being a parent and having a better relationship with their children. Amazing! A bit of good news in the horrors of the last 18 months. Fathers having a better relationship with their children. Obviously, that can't be said for everyone, but it seems that is the case from this study. So I wonder, by spending time with our Heavenly Father in worship and in prayer, and as we read the Bible, I wonder what characteristics stand out to you as you get to know him better and as you have a stronger and stronger relationship with him. Do you notice the things that God cares about and what makes him happy? As I've spent time in Isaiah 58 and other passages throughout the Bible recently, I've been challenged and inspired again as I've seen more and more that our wonderful Father views worship as a whole life response to him, and how much he adores our worship when it includes caring for the poor, the broken, the hungry, and being involved in helping with the injustices that we see around us, helping to bring his kingdom and his love and his light to those situations. So let's turn to Isaiah 58. If you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to get it. So in this passage, God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah to his people, and he's sharing his thoughts on their religious activities. It's quite a long chapter, but it's fantastic. So I'm going to read it all. So just stay with me, and I would encourage you to watch out for verses 6 and 7. Okay, you ready? Just move this on. Shout aloud, do not hold back, raise your voice like a trumpet. declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they are a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions, and they seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you've not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you've not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please, and you exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarrelling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I've chosen? Only for a day? For people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I've chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, and to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share the food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, "Here I am." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and do as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honourable, and if you honour it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast in the inheritance of your father Jacob. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. It's long. There's so much in that chapter. And it says so much about justice and worship. Things are startling and category blowing. So God is describing how devout his people are. Verse 2, day after day, daily, they're seeking God. Every single day they're doing this. They're going to temple to worship, to pray, to read the scriptures. Daily. They were committed. But something's gone slightly wrong. And the people are frustrated with their prayers. What's up, they're asking? We've been doing all this stuff. You know, where is my return? I engage rituals to make God happy and for him to bless me, surely. But we see God's response in verse 4 onwards. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. So, what exactly is God's problem with their worship or their fasting as in this passage? Does he think they're being superficial or that they don't really mean it? Is it hollow? Well, yeah, that would be a problem, but that's not the issue here. Is it something about relationship being more important than religion? Well, yes, but again, that's not the point in this passage. His only point is that worship has to go hand in hand with justice. Care for the poor and the stranger is fundamental. And Jesus repeats this idea in the famous parable about the sheep and the goats. Jesus grew up immersed in these scriptures, and he uses some of the very same language seen in this passage within that parable. So if we look at verse 6 and 7, this is the kind of fasting I'm interested in, loosening the chains of injustice, addressing issues of oppression. He says, "You think you're worshipping me by performing these religious rituals, but by neglecting these basic issues of poverty and injustice, you're showing that you don't know me. You think you do because you're doing the ritual, but you don't." So God is speaking through Isaiah, showing us that a true relationship with him has one of its truest indicators in how I treat issues of poverty and oppression in my community. So how am I responding to people who are poor and face injustice? Tim Mackey of the Bible Project points out that this is not a marginal issue. This is at the heart of biblical faith. If you want to know more about what he says, there's a link to his talk on this particular subject in this particular chapter in the Growth Group Leader Notes this week. Now, this view is not entirely new to us at Leeds Vineyard. And this very year, we've been learning more about the injustices that we see with inequalities and the various different task forces that we've started with, looking into modern slavery issues and the environment and inequalities. We are a community that seek to love one another and have good relationships, supporting and equipping each other where we can. And we're a community that cares about the community, about Leeds, and wants to bless Leeds and bring God's kingdom here. And I want to celebrate that as a community, we know that our worship of Jesus is not contained to a meeting or to a time of singing, but part of our worship is seen in actions and is an overflow from that place of intimacy with the Father. But it is important for us to always learn more. There's always more with our wonderful Father, isn't there, to learn? And it's important that we always engage with these issues of injustice from that place of intimacy with the Father, a place of love. So, like I said, as with anything with our Heavenly Father, there's always more to learn as we follow him. And as anything with our Heavenly Father, we never respond out of a sense of religious guilt or shoulds, which ultimately place heavy burdens on us. But we follow the Father's lead in our lives. And we place ourselves before him in worship. And as we do that, he changes our hearts to care about the things that he cares about. And he whispers to us, "This is how I want you to get involved. This is where I want you to go. This is what I want you to do." Verse 10 in this chapter, I was reading it again this morning, and this particular verse really stood out to me. It describes how God will continually guide us as we pour ourselves out for the hungry. He shows us what to do and where to go at the right time. We all have different gifts, different resources, different personalities. And I believe that as we spend time in his presence, worshipping and surrender, our hearts are changed and the Holy Spirit whispers to us what he would like to do to express that worship in action. So to conclude, the worship our Father seeks from us is time spent in worship that propels us outwards to loosen the ties of injustice, that sets the oppressed free, that shares bread with the hungry and clothes those in need. It's worship and it's justice, hand in hand, and they cannot be separated. So I would love to respond slightly differently today. I'd like to just create a bit of space for us to come into God's presence in worship. Alex is going to lead us in another song together. And I'd love us to pray this song and just, I mean, maybe you just want to sit in silence and listen to that still small voice of the Father whispering to you what he would like you to do. Or maybe it's a chance to come before him and say, "I'm really tired, God. Will you come and fill me up again so I can love my neighbour again?" whatever your response is today, let's just give a bit of time. And then after Alex has led this song, Joss and I are going to lead a time of prayer ministry. Over to you, Alex. Yeah, just keep in that place of prayer. So, Father, as that song says, will you just show us who you are again? Show us your character. Remind us of your goodness, of your love, of your power. And fill us with your heart. Lead us in your love to those around us, Jesus. Father, we follow you, we trust you, and we know that your Holy Spirit promises to guide us. You promise to guide us. Yeah, verse 11, the Lord will guide you always. That's your promise to us, you will guide us always. That's really stood out to me this morning, but we also had a word this morning, being reminded of the Genesis passage in the Bible where God asks Adam, where are you? And the person sensed that the Lord wanted to encourage those who feel lost this morning. So if this is you, the Father wants to encourage you, and he knows where you are, that he's with you and that he's got you, and that you can trust him to lead you out of your circumstances. And So, Father, would you just come and bring your assurance of the truth that you are always with us, that you will always guide us, that you will always lead us. And would you just bring peace to anyone who may be feeling that? Fill them again with your heart, with your love. Amen.